Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily for Wednesday, June 24th, 2026. Before we get to anything else today, we need to issue a severe weather alert for the West Michigan area.
That's right. If you are stepping out the door this morning, it's currently a calm 53 degrees with broken clouds and a light 3 mile per hour breeze. But do not let that fool you. The National Weather Service in Grand Rapids has flagged a severe weather threat moving in this afternoon.
The system they're tracking is an Alberta Clipper, which is a bit unusual for summer, but it's packing a punch. We're looking at an 80% chance of showers and thunderstorms starting after 2 p.m., but the real hazard window hits right around 6 p.m. this evening.
At 6 p.m., that precipitation chance jumps to 100% for heavy, intense rain. The NWS is warning about 40 to 45 knots of bulk shear with this system. In practical terms, that means the atmospheric conditions are primed for some of these storms to become strong or even severe.
The heavy rain is going to be relentless, too. We're looking at a 100% chance of rain continuing through 9 p.m. into midnight and lingering all the way into Thursday afternoon. Standard rainfall amounts will sit between a tenth and a half inch, but any localized thunderstorms could dump significantly more very quickly.
So if you have an evening commute or outdoor plans tonight, you really need to be weather aware and have a way to receive alerts. But the other huge story here is the weather whiplash we're about to experience.
Exactly. Once this clipper system clears out and high pressure builds in on Thursday, the pattern shifts completely. We're looking at significantly hotter and more humid conditions by early next week, with apparent temperatures, the heat index, potentially pushing into the upper 90s or low 100s.
It's going to be a shock to the system after this cool, rainy stretch. Make sure your sump pumps are working for tonight and get your air conditioners ready for next week. Now, let's get into today's local news. For our first deep dive today, we're looking at a major financial lifeline coming to downtown Grand Rapids. The City Council has officially approved a $5 million grant program specifically targeted at small businesses operating in the downtown core. This is a really significant injection of capital, and honestly, it comes at a critical juncture for a lot of these storefronts. We've talked extensively on this show about the ongoing recovery of downtown foot traffic. Between the shift to hybrid work and the various construction headaches, like the new transit center we discussed last week, it hasn't been easy for local retail and restaurants. Right, the city recognizes that, and they've structured this $5 million pool to offer individual grants of up to $50,000 per business. To qualify, a business has to be located within the Downtown Development Authority zone and must have been in operation for at least 2 years. So this isn't seed money for brand new startups, it's stabilization and growth money for existing community staples. And what I find really fascinating is the criteria for how the money can be used. The council was very clear that they aren't just handing out blank checks to cover back rent or standard payroll. Businesses actually have to submit proposals detailing how they will use the funds to enhance the downtown experience. The phrase they kept using at the council meeting was experiential retail. They want to see proposals for facade improvements, expanding outdoor seating and patio spaces, or upgrading technology, like new point-of-sale systems that speed up service. They want investments that make visiting downtown a distinct, memorable experience. Which is a smart pivot, economically speaking. City officials argue that you can buy almost anything online these days, but you can't buy the atmosphere of a great patio dinner with live music on Monroe Center. If they can help businesses create those unique environments, it draws regional visitors, even if the traditional Monday through Friday office crowd is smaller. But of course, the program isn't without its critics. During the public comment period, several business owners pointed out that while a $50,000 grant is fantastic for a facelift, it doesn't solve the structural issues keeping people away. They specifically cited the rising costs of downtown parking and the sheer lack of daytime foot traffic compared to 2019. It's a fair point. A beautiful new storefront doesn't automatically fix the fact that someone might not want to pay $15 to park for a quick lunch. But city officials countered that by saying you have to control what you can control. They view this as one piece of a larger puzzle, working in tandem with the Dash Bus system and other downtown initiatives. We also need to talk about where this $5 million is actually coming from. This is funded by the city's Remaining American Rescue Plan Act, or ARPA funds, and there's a ticking clock on that money.
The federal government requires municipalities to allocate these funds by the end of 2024, or they have to return them.
That completely explains the aggressive rollout timeline. The city had a use-it-or-lose-it situation. The application portal opens next Monday, and the city manager's office stated they plan to start dispersing the first wave of funds by late August.
So if you are a small business owner in the DDA zone, you have a very short window to get your paperwork and your proposals in order. With a $5 million total pool and a $50,000 cap per grant, we're looking at a minimum of 100 local businesses getting a very substantial boost.
It's going to be highly competitive. I'd imagine the grant review committee is going to be swamped with applications. They'll be using a grading rubric that prioritizes projects with the highest visible impact on the streetscape. We'll definitely keep tracking this one. It'll be interesting to walk down Division or Bridge Street next spring and see the tangible results of where this money actually landed. For our second deep dive, we are shifting gears from downtown development to a pressing public health issue. The Kent County Health Department has just issued a stark advisory regarding a significant and, frankly, alarming spike in tick-borne illnesses across West Michigan.
Yeah, this is not just your standard boilerplate wear bug spray summer warning. The health department is reporting a 30% increase in confirmed cases of Lyme disease compared to the exact same time last year. A 30% jump year over year is massive.
It really is. And the culprit here is the black-legged tick, which most people know as the deer tick. Experts are pointing directly at our unusually mild winter as the primary cause for this population boom.
Exactly. We didn't get those deep, prolonged freezes that typically help cull the tick populations while they're dormant. Because the ground barely froze for long stretches, the ticks essentially got a massive head start on their breeding cycle this spring.
The health department noted that ticks are particularly active right now in the tall grasses, brush, and wooded areas. They specifically flagged popular outdoor spots like Millennium Park, Seidman Park, and the White Pine Trail as areas where residents need to be highly vigilant.
And the advisory lays out some very specific protective actions that go beyond what a lot of us normally do. Obviously, they recommend using EPA-registered insect repellents containing DEET, picaridin, or oil of lemon eucalyptus on your exposed skin. But they are also heavily emphasizing the use of permethrin.
Permethrin is a total game changer if you spend a lot of time hiking or camping. Unlike DEET, you don't put it on your skin. You spray it on your boots, your socks, your pants, and your gear. Once it dries, it actually bonds to the fabric and kills ticks on contact.
And it lasts through several trips through the washing machine, which is incredibly convenient. But even with all the repellents, the health department says the single most crucial advice remains the physical tick check after you've been outdoors.
Right, because the CDC notes that a black-legged tick generally needs to be attached to your body for 36 to 48 hours to actually transmit the Lyme disease bacterium. If you find it and remove it early, your risk of contracting the disease drops dramatically. But finding them is the tricky part right now. We are currently in the season where the nymph stage ticks are out in full force. These nymphs are incredibly tiny, about the size of a poppy seed. They are so easy to miss, especially if they attach behind the knee, in the hairline, or around the waist. If you do find a tick attached, the protocol for removal is very specific. Health officials say to use fine-tipped tweezers, grasp the tick as close to the skin surface as possible, and pull upward with steady, even pressure. Do not twist it, do not jerk it, and whatever you do, do not use those old wives' tales like burning the tick with a match or painting over it with nail polish.
Yes, please don't do that. Agitating the tick with heat or chemicals can actually cause it to regurgitate its stomach contents into your bloodstream, which actively increases your risk of getting infected.
Once you remove it, wash the bite area and your hands with rubbing alcohol or soap and water, and then you need to monitor your health. The department is urging anyone who develops a fever, chills, severe fatigue, or that telltale bullseye rash within 30 days of a tick bite to see a healthcare provider immediately.
And it's worth noting that it's not just Lyme disease they're worried about. They've also seen an uptick in anaplasmosis, another tick-borne disease that causes severe fever and muscle aches.
The good news is that early treatment with antibiotics for these illnesses is highly effective. But if left untreated, Lyme disease can lead to severe joint pain, facial palsy, and neurological issues months or even years down the line. It's a sobering reminder. We all want to get out and enjoy the beautiful West Michigan summer, especially after the rain clears out. But taking that extra 5 minutes to spray your boots and check your kids for ticks is absolutely essential this year.
All right, before we get out of here, let's hit a few more local stories making headlines in our roundup.
Sounds good. Let's get into it.
First up, the Grand Rapids Public Museum announced today that they are extending their highly popular Space, an out-of-gravity experience exhibit, through the end of August due to overwhelming ticket demand.
This is great news. I know so many parents who were trying to squeeze this in before it closed. If you haven't seen the replica of the International Space Station module yet, you've now got a few extra weeks to make it happen.
Over at Frederick Meyer Gardens, officials have unveiled a new temporary summer installation featuring massive, wind-powered kinetic sculptures placed throughout the main garden pathways.
Kinetic sculptures are always so mesmerizing to watch. With the way the wind sweeps through the gardens, this is going to add a really dynamic, constantly moving element to the landscape this season.
If you are hitting the road this upcoming holiday weekend, be aware that the Michigan State Police are significantly ramping up their patrols along the US 131 corridor, specifically targeting speeding and distracted driving.
We all know US 131 can turn into an absolute racetrack on long weekends. Do yourself a favor. Take it easy, put the phone down, and just get to your destination safely. A ticket is a terrible way to start a vacation.
Finally, the Grand Rapids Griffins have launched a new community outreach program aimed at providing free youth hockey clinics and equipment to kids in underserved neighborhoods across Kent County.
I absolutely love seeing the Griffins invest in the local community like this.
Hockey is notoriously expensive to get into, so removing that financial barrier and growing the sport at the grassroots level is exactly what the game needs. And that is going to wrap up today's episode of Grand Rapids Daily. As always, thank you so much for starting your morning with us.
Yes, thank you for tuning in. Remember to stay incredibly weather aware this evening with those severe storms and heavy rain rolling in. Make sure your phone alerts are turned on.
We will be right back here tomorrow with more local news and updates. Stay safe out there, Grand Rapids.